This part of the trial, as the judge said, is what's called opening statements. It's my opportunity to give you a roadmap of what I expect the testimony to be in this trial. I've been a prosecutor for 15 years, and the vast majority of my trials, opening statements, not that important. You might be there for a day, maybe two. You're going to hear all the evidence. It's super fast. But in murder trials, are a little bit different. In this one, you know, I've tried a lot of murder cases, and they go on for so many days that it's important that you as a jury knows kind of at the very beginning a roadmap of where we're going. Opening statements are a chance. It's kind of like a trial's a big puzzle, and every witness is a little piece of the puzzle. And unfortunately, the puzzle doesn't always come to you in the order we want it to, because we're working around various witnesses. You may hear one witness testify to something and think, well, why does that matter? And then 2 days later, somebody else says something like, oh, that's why that mattered. So opening statement is important to kind of wrap it all together. My kids, if I ask my daughter what she did today, she's very linear. She'll say, I woke up, I brushed my teeth, I had breakfast, I went to school. If you ask my son what he did today, he'll say, oh, I got Billy out in recess and t-ball. Well, what did you do first? Well, he's all over the place. So it's sometimes hard to understand the big picture of the story with little bitty pieces at a time. But that's why this opening statement is important, because I'm going to give you a roadmap of the evidence that you're going to hear throughout this case. You heard the charges that were read in the indictment. Mr. Bobby Spikes, the grand jury in Christian County, returned this indictment charging him with 2 counts of murder for causing the death of Candace Marcel and Stanley Bussell, 2 people from right here in Hopkinsville. You heard he's also charged with robbery for both of them, for causing injury to them or having a firearm while committing a theft against them. You also heard of kidnapping for Candace Marcel, and we'll talk about that throughout the course of this trial. Restraining her under conditions that were meant to terrorize her or to further the commission of a felony. And finally, tampering with physical evidence for disposing, concealing, or destroying a gun that he'd used to shoot both of those individuals. Go to the next slide, please. I think we may have gone off.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you again for being here and participating in the trial today for Mr. Spikes. Now, you've already heard quite a bit from the Commonwealth, but this case is really about assumptions, jumping to conclusions, and cognitive dissonance. And that's what happened in this case, and that's what the evidence will show. So you're going to hear that on December 9th, 2021, a vehicle was located on Cerulean Road in Trigg County early in the morning, about between 7 and 8, by the Trigg County Sheriff. They checked on the vehicle. They did observe an occupant in the vehicle that appeared at the time to be asleep. Eventually, they opened up the door to check on the occupant in the vehicle, and they located Candace Marcel, deceased in the vehicle, single gunshot wound. That's undisputed, ladies and gentlemen, that they located Ms. Marcel in Trigg County with a single gunshot wound to the head. From there, they went to Candace Marcel's residence to check on the residence, and they located Stanley Bussell, also deceased in the residence with a single gunshot wound to the head. Now, at that point, you're going to hear how Officer Stuckey jump to conclusions. At the time, he was Detective Stuckey. The evidence will show he's now Officer Stuckey. Now, he decided what evidence to preserve and what not to preserve. Now, we're here, we don't have any video evidence other than what's been presented as five ring camera videos. And you'll hear from the testimony that he didn't think he needed to request any others. He didn't contact Amazon or Ring. Just make sure that there were no other videos. There's no video of anyone struggling with a woman outside the residence in Clearman Court and forcing her into a vehicle. The vehicle that arrived around 12 midnight to come in, driven by Stanley Bustle, to come look at a vehicle in the middle of the night to work on. From there, we don't have any video of any ATM transactions. We don't have any documentation from the bank stating the camera wasn't working. That's based entirely upon the testimony. That'll be based entirely upon the testimony of Officer Stuckey. The evidence will show from there, Officer Stuckey already made up his mind as Bobby. From there, he only looked for the evidence that he believed would implicate Bobby Spikes. And that's where this case takes the turn. Because what you're not going to see is DNA evidence. Even though the Commonwealth's contention is Bobby Spikes drove Stanley Bustle's vehicle from Hopkinsville to Cerulean Road in Trigg County. And shot Candace Bustle. You're going to see how KSP processed the vehicle and located numerous fingerprints, handprints, all over the vehicle. How they processed the vehicle. What they're looking for when they process the vehicle. DNA, fingerprints, blood. You're going to see how they located blood in the vehicle, including on the steering wheel. You're going to see now, none of those fingerprints were processed to find a suspect or to narrow out officers who were checking on the vehicle or to not narrow out Stanley Bustle. You're also going to see how they didn't process any blood that was located in the vehicle, whether to determine whether it was from Candace Marcel or another individual who had been in the vehicle. Now, as far as the gunshot residue testing, you're going to hear from the lab tech. They found certain chemicals that can be in gunshot residue. However, it's also available in everyday items. And they couldn't definitively say that it was gunshot residue. From there, we turn to the cell phone, past records. And we're going to hear from the detective, or from FBI, that these are general records. These aren't reliable about pinpointing someone's location. So I want to take you back to War Dyer. We're seeing we have a radio tower. Whatever strongest, you're going to hear how whatever strongest tower is, maybe actually the one that was used, whether it's in Hopkinsville or Trigg County. In fact, one of the things you're going to hear is Bobby's cell phone pinged off two towers at the same time. One in Hopkinsville, the other off Cerulean Road. That was conveniently left out by the FBI in their analysis. And you're going to hear more of that in their testimony. And you're going to see it in the phone records. And you're going to see why they left these out. Because when it's inconvenient, they leave it out. And you're going to see how the Commonwealth slotted in everything to fit their case based upon circumstances. And you're going to see how they have no physical evidence, no direct evidence tying Bobby to any of these events. All guesswork, all assumption. There's your cognitive dissonance. It doesn't fit, throw it out. You're also going to hear how and why Kendall Spikes is testifying and that he lied to police previously. He's testifying against his father because he's been made an offer by the Commonwealth. An offer where he walks free and serves no jail time. That's what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. Facts will show that Kendall Spikes has every motive to lie because he doesn't want to end up in prison. Facts will show Commonwealth does not have any evidence directly linking Bobby Spikes to the murders of Candace Bussell, or Candace Marcel and Stanley Bussell. They have circumstances, and not good circumstances is what the evidence will show. It's a lot of guesses, a lot of questions, and that's what you're going to see after this, at the conclusion of this trial. And I believe you'll see all of the questions that I have and that are still there. You'll have many more. At the conclusion of this case, based upon all of that evidence, I'm going to ask you to find Bobby Spikes not guilty. Because then, after you've heard all of the evidence or lack thereof, you'll have everything you need to determine that the Commonwealth hasn't met its burden beyond a reasonable doubt. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And when you retire to that jury room one last time, I'm going to ask you to find Bobby Spikes not guilty of all charges. Thank you.
Mr. McGee, wait a minute before you look up. Go ahead, you sit down. I would try to do everything I could not to delay the proceedings, and so the first thing I do is to
delay the proceedings.
Please forgive me. My apologies. Call your first witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. That's called Shirley Bussell.
Would you please place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right. Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth, so that you've got
it. Yes, sir.
I'm speaking to that. Fine.
Ms. Bussell, if you could, can you tell the jury your name?
Charlotte Ann Bussell.
And you might have to speak up a little bit so we can make sure we hear you, okay? Shirley, you don't have to tell me the address, but where do you live? What town do you live in?
302 South Joseph, Alphabet, Kentucky, Christian County, 4224.
Okay. Do you have any children?
Yes, I do have three kids. Family, Maurice Bussell, Yvonne Yvette, Darrell Bussell, Laquita Bussell.
Okay. Stanley Is he no longer with us?
No, sir, he's not.
Okay. May I approach a witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
So I'm going to hand you what's been pre-marked as Commonwealth's Exhibits Number 1 and 2. If you could look at those for me, please. Ms. Bustle, do those photos fairly and accurately depict your son, Stanley Bustle, near the end of his life?
Yes, sir.
All right, I move to introduce Commonwealth's Exhibits Number 1 and 2 and publish to the jury.
Without objection.
Thank you, ma'am. Shirley, can you tell us a little bit about Stanley?
My son's my recent son.
Just a minute, Russell.
Ma'am, you can answer the question. Can you tell us, Drew, a little bit about your son?
He was the type of person who would drive a long mile, winter, snow, sleet, rain, cold, summer. He'll drive a mile to help anybody, even if he sees somebody on the side of the road. He'll whip over, be late for work, try to help him out. He's going to go out of mouth. If he can't do it, he'll call and try to have somebody else to come help him up. I done packed up a jack in my car plenty of times to try to go help somebody out for him, because that's who he is. No matter where you at, he'll try to help, or he'll get somebody to come and help you.
Yes, ma'am. When your son passed, he was he 35, is that correct? Ms. Bustle, can you tell me about the last time you saw your son?
The last day I saw my son last night when he got off on a rail at about 11, a little bit after 11:30, 11 something, when he got off from work. He's supposed to come pick up the kids so they can go to school. And I was at on 1802 Broad Street on my boyfriend's house. That's where I was at.
Can you say that a little bit louder, ma'am? I apologize.
1802 Broad Street, where I was at.
Okay.
On my boyfriend's house. So that's why he came to pick up JoJo from.
Did Stanley have children?
Yes, he has two kids.
Are they both girls?
They're both girls. We shortened their name, I shortened their name for Zari, because their name is long, Zari. Bustle and Zari Bustle.
You don't have to give us their names, okay? Are they still children?
Yes, 15 and 11.
Okay. You said he'd take them to take. He was going to take them to school the next day. Is that something you regularly did?
Yes. He'd take them to school every day. And he'd pick them up from school, too.
Okay. And I think you already said this. I apologize. You're just kind of soft-spoken. I know this is not a normal thing to ask. Where was he working at the time?
Monterey.
Okay. And you know about what time he got off work before he came to see you?
He used to get up a little bit after 11:30.
Yeah. Did Stanley have a girlfriend at the time, or was he dating anybody?
Ashley Smith.
Okay. Did you know Candace Marcel at all?
I didn't know her.
Okay. What about the defendant, Bobby Spikes? Did you know him at all?
No, I don't know him either.
Okay. So he's not somebody that was known to you?
No.
Okay. Now, when he got off of Martin Ray, you said he would take the children to school every morning, but when he came to see you, was it right after he got off work?
Yes.
Tell me what happened and what the conversation was and things like that.
He was feeling, I had COVID. He was feeling a little sick and stuff. I had COVID, so he was asking my sister about COVID and stuff. And I was cooking a peach cobbler. So he was like, oh, man, I had two of them. So he was ready to eat, and so he was eating peach cobbler.
Okay. Did you give him any kind of alcohol that evening? And tell me why.
I fixed a hot toddy. Okay. That's what I put in my hot toddy.
And my grandma makes those too, but can you explain to us what that means?
A hot toddy is a mixture. It's half liquor, straight lemon juice, honey, and I put 6 house cough drops, and I also put a little pinch of vinegar to kill infection and bacteria in the spot. It's called a hot toddy, but it's boiled. You boil it. That's why it's called a hot toddy.
And did you give him that evening?
Yes, because that's what I had to take, because I'm allergic to a lot of medicine, so. And he has twisted intestines. He's like me, allergic to stuff, so that's how I fix him. We get hot toddies. That's how we get over our cold, flu, bronchitis. That's what I fix.
Okay. Did something happen before he left there with you?
He got a phone call.
Okay. Did you hear the phone call?
Yes.
Tell me what you heard.
Objection.
Your Honor.
That I can answer?
Yes, ma'am.
He got a phone call. We were sitting in the living room on 1802 Broad Street. That's where we were at. He got a phone call and his phone was on speaker like mine's, and his was always on speaker. The young lady on the phone asked, can he come to get her and boyfriend car? And he stated that I can come look at it, but I cannot come and fix it. Because he got to take the kids to school, and it's late, he don't feel good. So he just come to get it, and he'll let her know what's wrong with it so she can get the parts and stuff, what she needs tomorrow, the next day.
He did that.
And she said she'll text him the address, and he said, Mama, I'll be right back. I'm going to look at it, and that's all I'm going to do, and I'll be right back.
Did you ever see your son alive again?
No, I did not. I kept calling. Cause the phone rang, click. That's all I kept getting.
The next day when you all couldn't find him, what did y'all do?
I called everybody, and I called my brother, my uncle, I called everybody, my daughters, I called everybody. Because it wasn't like him to not respond to any one of our calls. And he always answered. He never answered my phone. Even when he at work, he would answer that phone.
At some point, did the police come to Stanley's house?
I went. We was looking everywhere. And we went to 302 South Jessup. This is where Stanley would live at. And my daughter-in-law, Brittany, we always looking, so we went to go, Brittany went to her mother's house. The mother wasn't feeling good. And When she got there, I was at 302 South Jessup Stony House. And Brittany called me and said her mother passed. She called me and said her mother had passed.
Ma'am, we're just going to ask you, at some point in time, did the police make contact with you about Stanley's car being found?
Yes, I was going up to my daughter-in-law's mother's house.
And did you all go to Drake County after that?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing further, yeah. Ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cross?
Just a few questions, ma'am.
Now,
you indicated that Stanley wasn't feeling well when he got home that night, so you made him a hot toddy?
Yes.
Okay, that doesn't contain much alcohol, all right? About half a shot, if that?
It's more than a half a shot.
More than half a shot?
Yes, because you have to mix, it's mixed with different liquor. It's not the same liquor, it's different liquor, so more than a half a shot.
But it's not a lot of alcohol, though?
No, it's trimmed out. You take, like, a coffee cup.
Mm-hmm. And you pour lemon juice in there and whiskey and...
Okay, so you put... Your lemon juice is already hot.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your half of your liquor with a cup of brandy. You're going to use a brandy. It's half of that. You do, like, a three shot. It's a tall glass. It's a three shot.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put that in there, and then you're going to put the straight lemon juice and the honey in there.
Okay. So you drank that, what, about 11:30?
About 11:45, because after he drank his eighth peach cobbler.
Okay. And from there, he received a phone call.
Yes, while he was eating the peach cobbler.
But you don't know who was on the other line?
The young lady, she said she just needed her car picked. I didn't get to hear her say that because I bought the second bowl of peach cobbler in there.
Okay. But you don't know who that was?
No, I just know it's female.
Okay. And from there, he left.
After eating his second bowl of peach cobbler, yes.
After eating peach cobbler, then he left and...
Yeah, he said, Mommy, I'll be right back.
Okay. That's all I have, Judge.
Redirect?
No,
Your Honor. Thank you, Ms. Bussell. You must step down. Thank you. Your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. I call Laquita Bussell.
Place your left hand on the Bible, please. Mm-hmm. You swear the testimony about you will read the truth and nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
Ma'am, could you tell the jury your name?
Laquita Bussell.
And you don't have to give us the address, but what town do you live in?
In Hawkinsville.
Okay. Laquita, obviously you know why we're here. Did you know Stanley Bussell?
Yes, sir.
How did you know?
He was my brother.
Can you tell this jury a little bit about Stanley?
Yes, so he was very friendly. He was nice. He always kept his daughters. You wouldn't see neither one of his daughters without him. You wouldn't see his nieces and nephew without him. He didn't see color. He had a lot of friends, no sexuality. He didn't care who you was or what you did. If you need his help, he would help you. And no matter what it was or what time of the day it was, that's what type of person he was. He keep a smile. He was very jolly. He would light up a room when he come in the room. No matter how tired he is, how mad he is, he would keep you laughing and smiling. That's what type of person he was.
Were there several boys that lived around him that didn't have dads?
Yes.
What would he do with them?
He would go to...
Objection, Your Honor, we approach.
Yes.
So he went to daddy daycare for all the kids, including my kids, my cousin's kids, even his friends' kids that didn't have their daddy. He went to the daddy daycare as the daughter and dance. He went with all the kids.
Okay. Now, at the time that Stanley passed, he was 35, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Did he have a girlfriend?
Yes, Ashley, and she had two boys, and he was being the father to those boys. Yes, sir.
Do you know Bobby Spikes at all before any of this? Did you know Candace Marcel any before?
No.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
Carl? No questions. Thank you, ma'am. Carl, your next witness.
Call Doug Locklear.
Place your left hand on the Bible. Please turn your right hand. You swear the testimony you're about to give. Will be the truth, nothing but the truth. So, I give
you. Mr. Locklear, can you tell the jury your name?
My name is Clifton Douglas Locklear.
Mr. Locklear, did you have a daughter?
Yes, I did.
What was her name?
Candace Marcel, maiden name Locklear.
Yes, sir. Did Candace have any kids?
She had four boys.
When Candace passed, she was 34, is that right?
Yes.
Were all of her boys school-age kids?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know where Candace lived at the time of her passing?
205. I'm trying to remember. 205.
It's okay if you don't. Did you know where she lived?
Yes.
Okay. Did she always have her boys, or were they going back and forth between her and their dad?
Yes.
Which one? I'm sorry.
What was the question again?
Did she always have her boys, or were they going back and forth?
They were going back and forth.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about Candace?
I want to update the address with Central. I can't.
That's okay. We'll get it from other witnesses. Right. Do you, can you tell us a little bit about Candace?
Candace was a daddy girl. She always admired me for my accomplishments in the Army by retiring. She was a beautiful daughter. We always had a great relationship. She always would, even on holidays, she'd take a military thing and dress and talk to me about my Army days. Always.
Sir, I'm going to show you two pictures that have been pre-marked as Commonwealth's Exhibits number 3 and 4. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Mr. Locklear, do these pictures fairly and accurately depict your daughter, Candace?
Yes.
Your Honor, I move to introduce Commonwealth's Exhibits number 3 and 4 and publish to the jury.
Without objection.
Thank you, sir. No further questions, Your Honor.
Wait a second. Do you have any questions for this witness? All right. Thank you, sir. Call your next witness.
Your Honor, may we approach?
Yep. Counsel, step back up.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, a request has been made that we take a break at this time. Please remember the court's usual admonition, especially if I forget to give it, which is, do not discuss the case among yourselves with anyone else or allow anybody to talk to you about the case. you hear a conversation going on and you realize it's about the case, move away from it. And if anybody tries to talk to you about the case, that needs to be reported to us immediately. You can go anywhere you like in the vicinity of the Justice Center, but please be back in place at 3:30. Thank you.
Mr. Moore, you can answer the question, and I apologize. I don't really think about what it even was. I apologize. I asked you if there was ever anything concerning that you heard or observed over there when at Bobby's residence.
Yes. November the 13th, around about 12:30-ish a.m., I was just getting in with my kids. We was just settling down. I just picked them up from sitter. We was getting ready for bed. We heard a gunshot. Didn't know where it came from at first. I told my kids running in my room, and I was like, okay, y'all calm down, because they was younger at that time. So we went outside and we looked, and we seen a girl. She was walking up and down the street. She was yelling and fussing and cussing. And, Your Honor, it's some bad words. Can I say it, or?
You can paraphrase it.
Okay. She said, "You shot that MFing gun at me. Give me my kit phone and get out of my house."
Did you recognize the woman?
I did not know it was her until she beat on her door, because we only spoke in passing. Okay. "Hey, how you doing?" That's it.
Which door did she beat on?
The house next door to me door. The house that her and Bobby shared, because it was her at that time.
Okay.
I realized that it was her because she said, "Get out of my house and give me my phone."
Yes, ma'am.
So, somehow he came outside. It was like a tug of war match.
Bobby.
Okay. He was pulling her through the yard. It's like if you're playing tug of war and the other team got the advantage and you're kind of on the ground and they're scooting you across. And I yelled at him and I said, "Bobby, leave that girl alone. Let her go. These people going to call the police and you're going to go to jail." It wasn't the holidays yet. So if you go to jail, you're going to be in there for the holidays. He said, we fine. I asked her, I was like, "Are you okay?" She said, "I'm good. Do you need me to call the police?" She said, "No, we good." I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah." Me and my gather up my kids, because they was outside. Go in the house. We're going to bed.
Okay. Now, you said that was on November 13th around 12 o'clock?
Correct.
When you said 12 o'clock, do you mean noon or midnight?
Midnight.
Okay.
And how do I know the time?
Yeah, I was about to ask you, how are you so aware of the date and time?
Because I am in a group chat with my family. And I sent a message out, because I had only been living there since June the 15th of 2021. I sent a text message, and this is paraphrased what the text message said. I thought I moved us out the hood. Why is my neighbor shooting at his girlfriend? At 7 something that next morning, one of my cousins replied.
Objection.
Yeah.
Right, you don't have to tell us what they said, but you know what date it was, November 13th, and you know the time because you sent a text.
And I still have the text message, correct.
Okay. Have you reviewed that prior to the day, and did you share that with the police?
I did.
Okay. Your Honor, may I approach the court?
Yes.
Ma'am, I'm going to show you what's been previously admitted into evidence. It's Commonwealth's Exhibits number 3 and 4. Do you recognize the woman in those photos?
I do not know who that is.
When you
were living next door to Bobby. Does that look like the woman that was living there?
The one with the curly hair, never seen the blonde hair.
Okay.
Because like I said, I only spoke to her in passing. She was either getting in her car, I was getting in my car. We never sat outside and like had a conversation. So except for that one night, it was dark.
Yes.
It's midnight.
So the one with the curly hair, does that look like the woman you spoke to?
Yes.
Okay. That approach on it.
Yep.
Ma'am, I want to take you to let me back up a bit. You heard the gunshot, is that the first thing?
Correct.
And then when you came outside is when you heard her say, "You shot me."
You shot at me.
Shot at
me. Mm-hmm.
After that point in time, at some point on December the 9th of 2021, did you come into contact with the police?
I did.
Tell me about that day and what all was going on with you, okay?
With me, I was in Nashville. My uncle was having knee surgery. I'm the driver. I took him to Nashville. I get a call on my way home. It's my mom. She said,
without telling us what she said.
Okay, my mom paraphrased it. She told me that the police was over in my area.
You kidding? Paraphrase.
I'm sorry. Well, but the police was in the area, and they wanted to speak to me.
Okay. Did you come home and talk to the police?
I did.
Okay. Now, before you talked to the police that day, when is the last time you had seen Bobby Spice?
The day before.
Tell me about that.
In Cooperfield, dropping off my mom, getting off of work, showering, dropping off my mom, going to get the kids. Well, I was getting off of work because I still had the tobacco smell on me. He was wrapped up in a coat, had a bag on him, didn't even recognize who he was until we looked. And I was like, oh, hey, that's my neighbor. Hey, how you doing? And that was it.
And where is Cooperfield?
It's across the street from, we live in a cul-de-sac called Clearman, a subdivision called Clearman, not Clearman Court, that's the street I live on. I'm sorry. It's called Clarktown. We live in a subdivision, so it's across the street from Clarktown.
Okay. So the day before you talked to the police, you had seen him?
I did.
Was it during daylight hours?
Yes.
Okay. And, so let me take you back to when you speak to the police. Before you spoke to the police, did you talk to Mr. Spikes in any fashion, in person or other way? Tell me about that.
I called him on Facebook Messenger. Didn't get an answer at first. A minute later, he called me back. My conversation to him was, hey, what's going on? It's a lot of police is over here. They're looking for you. I don't know what's going on. He said, yeah, they kind of found my girlfriend dead. I said, what? They kind of found her dead. What do you mean, kind of? I was like, well, he's like, well, I don't know. I was like, well, I think they want to talk to you. He's like, well, have you talked to him? Did they ask about me yet? It's like, no, I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm going to go out here and talk to him. And he was like, okay, well, I might roll up through there. I was like, okay. End of conversation. Lasted about 42 seconds.
Okay. And so you spoke to him on Facebook, but is this a voice where you're speaking?
It's like a phone call.
So it's not a message that's typed
no.
up. It's a voice call.
Correct.
Using Facebook.
Correct.
What at that time, did your name on Facebook, was it Veronica Moore or something different?
No, it is still my name today on Facebook, Veronica M. Moore.
Okay. And that was prior to you talking to the police?
Correct.
Was it the same day, though?
It was within the same hour.
Okay. And did you speak to the police?
I did.
Okay. Do you know whether or not Mr. Spice had a car during that time period?
He did not, to my knowledge.
Did you ever see him driving a car?
Yes, his girlfriend's car.
Okay. What do you remember what kind of car it was?
A Charger.
Do you remember what color it was?
Red.
Okay. Did you ever see him driving any other vehicle?
I'm not sure if he drove his son's car. I know his son would come over there, but I'm not sure if he drove it or not.
Do you know what color it was? And what
it was like? Also a red car.
No further questions, John.
Before Mr. McGee starts, I want you to tell the jury what the nearest intersection is to Clearman Court and Cooper Field as far as the streets that cross.
Okay, it is M Street and Cooper Field Avenue.
What about the street that's right up at the corner at the stop sign?
That's M Street. And it's M Street. It's, it goes like this. It's M Street right here. It's Cooper Field right here. Cooper Field turns into Clearman Court.
Okay. But what is the next main street?
Glass Avenue.
Glass Avenue.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Like pulling teeth.
I'm sorry.
Now, your testimony was on November 13th. You heard a gunshot.
Correct.
You didn't see one.
No.
And then you just went outside to look to see what was going on.
Correct.
Never called the police.
Did not.
Okay. Someone shooting in your neighborhood and you don't call the police.
I do not.
Okay. But that's the reason you moved out there, to get away from it. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Are you a convicted felon?
I am.
Okay. In fact, you've been convicted of theft of identity of another?
Yes, if that's what you want to say. I had to plead out to it. Did I do it? No. I took an offer plea because, yes, and it was for my child's father, but this isn't about me, but yes, to answer your question, correct.
You've also pled guilty to making a false statement to obtain or increase benefits?
No, I have never.
In 2015?
Not to my knowledge.
Your Honor, may we approve?
Yes.
Did you ever submit a false statement to the benefits cabinet to obtain?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge.
Not to my knowledge. If you say I did, if I played out to it, it probably happened. If it was in 2005, I mean 15 or whatever, a lot of things can happen in my life since then. So I can't answer that question and say no and be truthful, or I can't answer and say yes and be truthful, because to be honest, I have no idea what you're talking about. But.
And you're saying you only played out the theft of identity, but you didn't do it.
No, I didn't do it because he was paying bills at my house and he didn't want his wife to know. But we have a child together. He's a pastor. So, of course, you don't want yourself to ever look bad.
Okay. All right. And since 21, you've changed your name to Maronica.
I did not change it. The state made me change it because I got my birth certificate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You were previously going by Veronica.
Correct.
Okay. And you were living right next door to Bobby and Candace.
Back correct.
And even after that date, they were back together, correct?
Right.
Multiple times.
Right.
So, like nothing ever happened.
Right.
Okay. That's all I had, Judge.
Thank you. Redirect.
Yes, Your Honor. Ms. Moore, you said, I think I've heard you right, that you sent this text on your phone?
Yes.
Can you pull it up?
My phone is back in the back, but I could.
Your Honor, if I could allow her to get her phone.
Okay. Your Honor, approach.
He was living with her, so correct.
Right, but you don't know exactly who.
Well, he was over there. He came outside to pull her through
but
the yard.
You didn't see the shot.
No, I heard the shot, and I heard her say, "You shot that gun at me," and he was the only one there.
So you're assuming that he's the one that shot the gun?
Correct. Yes.
That's all I got.
Thank you.
Really quickly, Judge, if I could redirect. You said he was pulling her. Describe exactly what he was doing.
He was dragging her through the yard.
By what part?
By her arms. Like, if you was playing tug-of-war with someone, then the other team got the rope, and they got the better of you, and you're, like, on your butt and your legs, and he was dragging her like that.
Now, I believe you said this earlier. What did she say about the house?
Give me my phone and get out of my house.
Nothing for you.
I'm not. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get your phone.
Okay. I'm done. Absolutely.
You are.
Thank you.
Thank you. Every approach, Your Honor. Just a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She's got her phone back.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, you may. What's the witness's first name?
Keala, Your Honor.
Spell that.
K-E-A-L-A. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. If you would please place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth. So if you don't.
Yes.
Ma'am, could you state your name for the jury?
Keala Smith.
And I just spelled your name. I want to make sure I spelled it right. How do you spell your first name?
K-E-A-L-A.
Okay. Ms. Smith, do you know the defendant, Bobby Spikes?
Yes.
How did you know him?
Through my best friend, Candace.
Okay. When you say Candace, are you talking about Candace Marcel?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How long you been friends with Candace?
Since I was 16 years old.
Okay. Would you have considered her to be a close friend of yours?
Like my sister.
I want to talk to you a little bit. You said you got to know Bobby because of her. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. Let me back up a little bit. Did Candace have any children?
Yes.
Okay. How many?
Four boys.
Okay. Has she been married to their father?
Yes.
Were they still married?
Yes.
At the end of her life?
Yes.
Were they still together?
No.
Were they going through a divorce?
Yes.
Okay. What was the arrangement with the boys? Were they going back and forth or not?
No.
Okay. Were there times when the boys would stay with their dad?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk to you. I'm going to jump around a little bit and I apologize, but I want to talk to you specifically about the last time that you ever spoke to her, and then I'm going to go back in time, okay? So I want to talk first about the last time you ever spoke to her. Do you remember when that was?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
She called me.
Then you got to talk a little bit louder. I'm sorry, but I can't hear you.
She called me the day before. This happened that night when she had got off work.
Okay.
On her way home from work.
At some point, did you learn of her passing?
Yes.
So when you say the day before, are you talking about just the immediate night before?
Yes.
Okay. What did she call you? When did she call you?
She called me on her way home from work when she got out. It was after 11 o'clock.
What did she say?
She asked me, what was I doing? I said, laying in the bed.
She asked me, what
was I doing? I said, nothing, laying down. And she asked if I knew where she could get some smoke from. And I said, well, no, not tonight because it's late.
Okay.
And she said, okay, I will call you tomorrow. And I said, okay. And we hung up the phone.
Do you know if she had her boys that night?
She did.
Okay. Do you know where they were?
They were with their father.
Okay. When you say smoke, did she smoke marijuana?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see her that evening? Did you go hang out with her at all?
No.
Okay.
Now, I want to go back in time a little bit more. I just want to talk about that last time you ever spoke to her. If we go back in time, do you remember about when she started dating Bobby and when you first met him? I guess the best way to ask this question may be, you know, when she passed, about how long before that? Weeks, months, years?
Months.
Months? Okay. When you first met Bobby, do you know where he was living?
With his son.
Okay. Do you know his son's name?
Kendall.
Okay. Did he ever have a house of his own the whole time you knew him?
Not to my knowledge.
Did he ever have a vehicle the whole time you knew him?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. What about Candace? Did she have a home?
She was staying with her mom.
Okay. When they first started dating?
Yes.
Did she eventually get a place of her own?
Yes.
Do you know where that was?
I can't remember the name. James? Store.
Okay.
Out there by Penny Round.
Okay.
Those new apartments, houses, they built there.
Gotcha. Do you know if Bobby lived there with her?
He did.
Okay. Whose place was it?
It was hers.
Okay. Now, at some point in time, are you aware of them breaking up?
Yes.
I want to talk to you around the Thanksgiving time period. Is that the time period we're talking about, 2021?
Yes.
Did something happen? And what did you see and hear?
We had a big fight with Bobby.
Okay, tell me about that. What day are we talking about?
The day after Thanksgiving.
Okay. And is that, if she died in December 2021, are we talking about that Thanksgiving just a few weeks prior?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about what happened. Where were you? What happened?
We were at Candace's house. We were all, I went over there after I got off work at 7 o'clock. And Angie was cooking, and we were just planning on chilling. He was in there packing his clothes that night.
I'm going to back up a little bit. This jury's going to hear from Angie and tomorrow probably, but you're talking about Angela Smith?
Yes.
Okay. You said the word he. Who is he?
Bobby.
Okay. You can keep going.
He was in the room packing stuff while we were all in the kitchen just chilling and talking. There was an argument that broke out between me and him, and there was not a He went to the living room to get ready to leave, and he punched somebody in the face that was sitting in the
chair. Objection. Grounds. Collins.
Back up, make sure I remember where we were. So you're at Candace's home. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Angie's cooking. You said that there was a fight that he punched somebody. Who did he punch?
Jeremy in the face, our other best friend's husband.
Without going into too much detail about what other people said, what did Bobby specifically say during this?
Y'all are going to regret this. I'm going to make y'all pay for this.
We need to have you repeat that much louder, please.
Y'all are going to regret this. Y'all are going to pay for this.
Right. Thank you, ma'am. You just have wait 1 second.
The other lawyer might have some questions for you. Cross?
You've never liked Bobby.
I never had a problem with him until he started doing what he was doing to her.
And you've had a chance to speak to the police.
No, I haven't.
You never spoke to the police?
On the night that I was called to her apartment when they had...
You spoke to the police then?
Yes, I gave my statement in the court.
Okay. But you didn't tell them anything about Thanksgiving, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Your Honor, can we approach?
Mm-hmm.
Candace was killed, correct? And you had the opportunity at that occasion to discuss everything to your knowledge regarding Bobby and Candace, correct?
Yes.
And regarding the events that occurred after, on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And your testimony has been that an argument broke out.
Yes.
And Bobby punched a guy.
Yes.
And then after that, as he was leaving, he stated, y'all are going to pay for this. Y'all are going to regret this.
Yes.
And you've had a chance to review your prior statement to the police.
Yes.
And in that statement, you didn't tell the police that, did you?
They didn't ask me that, then I would have been informed.
But that's something you would think the police would want to know, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. He's saying you didn't tell them that. What is it?
Excuse me, you didn't tell the police that. Well, first off, you didn't tell the police that he probably punched a guy.
That was in my statement.
That was in your statement.
They didn't want me to hit somebody in the face.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also, you didn't tell the police, y'all are going to pay for this. Y'all are going to regret this.
They didn't ask me that when we were sitting in the car.
But you, that's something significant, wouldn't you agree?
I mean, everything that they were asking me.
That's a threat, though, right?
Yes.
But you didn't tell the police about a threat that you're saying Bobby now saying on the stand.
They didn't get in detail about the fight. They didn't ask questions like that. They just wanted to know. And I said, we had a big fight, a big argument.
Okay.
A big fight broke out.
And they gave you the opportunity to tell them whatever they needed to about that, didn't they?
No. I mean, I said what I need to say, but they didn't ask me into detail.
So they didn't ask you if he threatened anyone, but your testimony is he did threaten someone. And you never mentioned to them that he threatened someone. Threatened everyone, basically.
Yeah.
But your testimony now, years later, is that he threatened everyone. Is that correct?
That's what he said that night when he was being put in the car.
But you didn't tell the police back in 2021 this.
No, they didn't ask me that.
Okay, let's go. It's a liar, Judge.
Correct?
Ma'am, while the jury left the room, did you listen to your recorded interview with the police?
Yes.
Does it fairly and accurately depict everything you told them that the day that you found out Candace was dead?
Yes.
Was that your voice and was that your statement?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd move to play the recording to the jury.
Judge.
Beth, you just listened to your interview, correct?
Yes.
You told the police about a fight the day after Thanksgiving, didn't you?
Yes.
Told him about Bobby was packing his stuff up. He got into it with everybody there, and there was a fight, didn't
he? Yes.
Did you tell them about that altercation and him there that day?
Yes.
Okay. You also told them, the police, that day about Candace kicking him out, correct?
Yes.
Had she kicked him out of that home?
Yes.
From your observations of him that day, was he happy about that?
No.
So the only difference between what you told the police and what you're saying today is just this statement that he made about it was that he was leaving, correct?
Yes.
Did they ask you specifically, tell us what he said?
No.
Okay. Are you adding anything to what
No.
you told him then? Okay. Thank you. After that Thanksgiving, did you ever talk to Candace again about Bobby?
I was over there the next day.
Okay. Did Candace start having some friends stay with her?
Yes.
Why?
Objection. Grounds. Lack of personal knowledge.
You were there that day, and you told the police that she put Bobby out, right?
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
He was packing his stuff and he had to leave her house.
You said you were over there the next day? Did you and other friends start staying with her more?
Another friend stayed with her that Friday night. I didn't because I had to work the next day.
What did she tell you? Did Candace say anything to you about how she was feeling about Bobby the next day?
Objection, Your Honor.
You just want to...
Grounds, come on, sir.
I ask you again, second time, I apologize. Let me make sure I'm asking you correct. After this Thanksgiving event, did you ever talk to Candace again about Bobby?
Yes.
What did she tell you?
That he was gone.
Did she tell you about how she was feeling?
Yes.
Speak up, please.
Yes. She's upset, sad, frustrated. But more focused on he needed to go so I can focus on getting my kids back.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
What are you doing? Recrossing me.
And then she allowed him to come back too, as far as you. She and Candace would allow Bobby to come back again, didn't she?
This time, I'm not sure she has in the past before, yes.
On multiple occasions.
Yes.
No, nothing further, Judge.
To your knowledge, did she ever let him back after that Thanksgiving?
No.
That's it.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. You can step down. All right, counsel, let me see you out in the hall, please.